Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of
what's
the
up, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. It's Friday. Friday, November the 10th, and tomorrow is Veterans Day. And before we even get started, I want to reach out to all the veterans out there and first of all, salute you and thank you for your service. And I want you to know how much I appreciate what you've done that allows me to do what I do. And certainly, my greatest appreciation goes to all of you. Happy Veterans Day, and to those families of veterans, and I can never thank you enough for making this country what it is. I thank you, and I salute you, and I wish you nothing but good stuff. In the meantime, the markets themselves are in a position where dip buyers are still in control. They're still the ones that can step up and buy, because they, every time the markets dip down a little bit, they step in and they buy. And it's interesting that, nothing really changes, as they continue to push their way, higher. We didn't make a new high yesterday. Of course, we saw markets that were down substantially. However, if you want to look at it from that point, you can also get from the point that they had them on the run and they could have really cracked them, and they didn't. They made dramatic recoveries. Now, again, this is very characteristic of a market that for now, still wants to go higher. All right. Now, again, nobody would like to see the markets have a little bit of a meltdown more than I would. But at the end of the day, I mean, here we are. Okay. The markets decided that, they were way down and they had every chance to fall apart. Now, it doesn't mean they won't fall apart Monday. It doesn't mean they won't fall apart Tuesday. I mean, I think we are extremely close to the markets turning over. I think that would be something I could see. But it's apparent that they're not real big fans of the tax plan, nor am I. I think that the tax plan is a bunch of horse crap, as usual, as you could expect from the swamp in Washington. Again, I didn't see a lot of great benefit in there for the average person. I think that what you saw was just another garbage plan that they're giving up something, and of course we get to pay for it. So we don't get the tax cut. I think that's the sadness. I think I mentioned this yesterday, but if big business is paying 20%, why am I paying 25%? It's not a logical equation to me. And I find that to be very, very troubling. As I heard President Trump say, the biggest tax plan in history, the biggest tax cut. I don't see such big cuts. I don't know. Maybe I don't get it, and that's extremely possible. But it's certainly a concern to me when, I'm basically, I think, being taken advantage of again. I don't understand, where the model comes from that they say it's such a great big tax cut. I don't understand what Mnuchin is talking about. I don't understand what any of them are talking about, to be quite frank. I don't see where this is going to create this major growth that they're talking about. I hope I'm wrong. There's times you don't want to be right. And this is one of them. I mean, I want it to be a plan that's great. I want it to be what they say it is, but I don't see it. I mean, I'm sorry. It just doesn't, what they're telling me does not compute on what they're bringing out. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm right, but I don't see the big deal of this new plan. I don't see where it's going to create new jobs. I don't think it's going to create more small business. And certainly anybody out there who says, can tell me, I would be happy to discuss it with you. More than thrilled to understand where I'm missing something here. But, you know, I don't miss a lot of these things. I obviously miss some, but I certainly don't miss a ton of it. And I just, again, based on what I can see and based on who I've talked to, I don't see a lot of the great things that are part of this plan. So, you know, that would be something more. And again, what is the thing with the deficit? Okay. You know, I would rather see them cut to all the worthless spending of my money, because, you know, a tax cut is only good if it's really, truly a tax cut. But if it's just another way of raising something else and having me pay it later, you know, remember the Framwell filter? You can pay me now, you can pay me later. I would rather see them cut the deficit and quit stealing my money and letting the Federal Reserve steal my money by raising other things and trying to create things that are artificial. That would be more what I would like to see myself. Okay. You know, this is just another way of doing the same crap that they always do. And I don't really understand and get it, and nor do I want to. I want things to be easy, natural, and real, and not, well, let me see, let's give them back $100 here and take $200 over here. In the meantime, getting an extra hondo. And, you know, again, these guys can talk their talk and their crap all they want. Until they can show me, I'm from Missouri, show me, baby. Now, if they can give me the proof of what they're telling me they're doing, I don't believe what they're saying. It does not make a great deal of logical sense. And again, I just bring back the, why is big business pay less than small business? That to me is a total hoax. You know, small business is the key. And without it, you got diddly. And that's a thing that also brings a great deal of concern to me is the showing me or telling me how much they're doing for me. And yet here we are once again, we can't even get a deal together yet, let alone what I would consider a good deal for us and a good deal for the economy, which I believe is not in great shape to begin with. And that is where I think the real problems come in. And again, to me, it's just another way that they're sliding and sticking it to me. And quite frankly, I'm tired of it. I am tired. I'm tired of getting slammed. I'm tired of getting ripped. And I'm tired of working hard to pay for their garbage. To me, it's just nonsensical. But in the meantime, what's not nonsensical is the education of our youth. And of course, highschoolinvesting.com, check it out. We're looking for help there. And if you go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading, you can help donate a little bit if you'd like to. In the meantime, don't forget to download the Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And of course, once again, to my veterans, to your families, to everybody involved, I salute you. I thank you. And I hope that everything is great. I hope you have a happy Veterans Day. It's so great to know that you have put together your life to make mine better. I thank you and I appreciate you. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out, have a break, and we'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. So you know, before I do anything, I must salute my veterans. I should do it every day, but at least I'm remembering them on their day for taking care of our country. I appreciate you so much. But I don't appreciate the tax plan. I don't appreciate the plain vanilla nonsense garbage that they're trying to spit out to us. I think that it's like another slap in the face, another, you know, basically screw you job. Where is it that where is this monster tax plan that was going to be the biggest tax cut in history? I don't see it. And, you know, again, how do we think we're going to stimulate the economy with what we're doing? I don't like the whole attitude of everybody either. I'm beginning to think that as I said from the beginning, I do not believe that Donald Trump will ever get enough support from anybody because nobody's for him. His own party is not for him. So I think that in itself creates an issue. I believe that when you look at the overall model of the government is broken. Okay, so that isn't going to help. So where do we think that the votes and anything's going to come from to change anything? You know, you have to remember that the people that are there, and I can't say every one of them, but I could bet it's a pretty good percentage, are there. They're being taken care of by all these lobbyists. And you know there's stuff that goes on. I don't know if we're going to say under the table. Wink, wink, nod, nod, or whatever. I mean, but we know that things go on, right? You know, all of a sudden, a new TV shows up in your house, a little envelope full of cash. Yeah, look, what do we think? We're school children here. We don't have any idea what you guys are doing. And again, I'm not saying it's everybody. I'm just saying in general, I mean, what else do lobbyists do? They give money, okay? They give money to the campaign. Whatever it is they're going to do, they're giving away something to get something. And it certainly isn't their good looks or a handshake. I can guarantee you that. What they're giving away is yet to be known. But, you know, what is a good lobbyist? What, take a nude picture of a guy, catch a guy doing something he's not supposed to and blackmail him or whatever? I mean, look, do we understand that it doesn't really matter what these guys are doing? The lobbyists are doing something that is convincing someone else to do something against possibly their best wishes or against our best wishes. You know, big lobbyists are not a benefit to you and me. Okay. We don't have the big lobbyists, which is why we have all these problems. And this is why this tax problem is becoming this new tax code or whatever the hell they want to call it is becoming a bigger problem. This is the issue itself is that we have no control. Okay, the small guy has no control because big companies have offices in Washington that are lobbying consistently all the time, trying to get their way on something. Now, again, are we going to be that naive to believe that doesn't happen? You know, how many times have you heard in the past about somebody taking a kickback or a payoff or something? And of course, we know that it's correct, right? Again, it happens all the time, and it goes ignored. It goes as ignored as some of the things that some people do in office that they are not supposed to be doing themselves. And for some reason, we have the reporters reporting on everything, but some things just happen to slip by, right? And this is why this tax plan is ridiculous. It's because the lobbyists are trying to maneuver something else. Because again, they've got the money. You know, they're the people that they're lobbying for have the money. They want to make sure that they get theirs. And there you have the end of it. Screw the little guy. Did you ever notice? I'd like somebody to email me at bubba@bubbatrain.com and tell me one thing that the government ever gave the little guy that was of big benefit that did not cost us something. Okay. One, just you can give me one, and it can't be welfare. All right, because that's one of the problems we have in this country today. All right, but again, give me one thing that they've ever done for us from a plan that just benefited us, which they could do it right now with this tax plan. You know, it's amazing how selfish these people are. It's amazing how, I can't say crooked, although I'd like to, how whatever the right word is, you fill in the blank, they are. They could turn, you want to talk about a moment that you could turn a country around. And not that we're not in good shape now. In other words, this is the greatest country in the world, so I don't want to get into that discussion. I think it's the greatest. I love it. I want to live here. But I think things can be better. And I think that we could change the world, the United States of America, today by making it more accessible and making it easier and making it giving the little guy a chance to build a better business, okay, because of some of the benefits they could achieve or receive from a better plan, and you would see this economy take off. You want to talk about real growth. You know, I hate the BS that they keep spending with the 4% and the whatever growth. You'll never get it under the current plans because the companies will not put the money to work. But if you would change that today and make it accessible for the small business guy to start up and build a business and make it so he wasn't so overregulated that he had to spend so much of his energy and time and money on regulations and garbage that we make us spit out. And you give them a favorable tax rate and you give them a favorable way to depreciate their equipment, as they talked about, and give them reasons, you would see over the next year a dramatic change in the economy, in the way that money flows, in the velocity of money, and in the overall GDP and the growth and the spending. You would bring back a lot of these retail stores that they're using the retail ice age for, if you allowed and made the proper provisions for some of these small business people to go back into that business, okay? Because now they would then want to spend money. Because the truth of the matter is, middle class love to spend. Middle class care about how much is it by the month. If I can afford it by the month, I'm going to reach in for that extra house, that little bit more house, or that little bit bigger car. And of course, what we've done is we've stymied all of the little guys. Okay. We've stymied opportunity. We've now pigeonholed them into crap jobs, all right, without the ability to open up and innovate. All right. Why? Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask them that, but it's certainly one of the most illogical departments I've ever seen. Certainly, we cannot continue. I mean, I'm sure they will, but that's the problem. And that's what's going on right now with this ridiculous plan. But you can't continue to push people aside. And to me, that is what we have done here, is we have just said, okay, we're not going to have any more small business. I mean, just by the simplest thing, 20 and 25%. Big business is 20, little business is 25. Immediately, you put them at a disadvantage. So if I go compete with somebody who's in the same business that I want to be in, and they're paying 20% tax, and I'm paying 25%, I'm already a 5% loser, not to mention everything else that goes on. Isn't that stupid? I mean, please tell me, is that not the most ignorant thing you've ever heard in your life? So if I want to open a bank, okay, and I'm going against JP Morgan, they're paying 20%, I have to pay 25%. I already have to get screwed on paying more for regulations because my staff isn't as big, so I have to, you know, we basically pay the same rate. I've got to pay more for FDIC insurance. I've got to pay a bigger percentage of my stuff to rent. So where am I? Again, and I get to pay 5% more in taxes every year. So you tell me what you think about that. I believe that it's I can't really say it all, but it is what it is. And you know what I'm thinking, right? I mean, come on, let's quit with the BS and tell it like it is. They're trying to screw the little guy. That's just the way life goes. And we need to go against that and clear out this swamp. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, you can download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And, of course, you can also get the Sporting Edge on the weekends, and that starts tomorrow. You can get the Sporting Edge tomorrow, so it'd be great. And you can listen to it live as well. And, of course, don't forget to get my daily updates every day. I email them out to you. I do a little video talking about markets, and I send them out Monday through Thursday. And then, of course, I do a show on over the weekend, which is just kind of recap, and I talk about the markets. But make sure you check it out. It's a lot of fun, and if you don't like it, you don't have to take it. You know, you can get rid of it. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich. We're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich with you. And, you know, I'm so worked up from that last phase. I had to check my blood pressure. Is 190 over 130 bad? Is a heart rate of 120 bad? I don't know. Somebody have to tell me. Because that's about what it was after the last segment. I don't know. I don't understand what's going on here. But what I really don't understand is how the markets, you know, continue to just the buyers just come in out of nowhere. And you'll hear, and I love when I hear this, there's money on the sidelines. There's a lot of money that needs to get in. And you know what? Let me tell you something. Okay, let's clear up a couple of things. There is always money on the sidelines forever. There always has been. There always will be. There will always be money that can come into the stock market. Always. Okay. That is a given. So I don't want to hear I hear this all the time. I hear from very smart people. There's always money to buy. Okay. If there's something to buy, money flows in to buy every single day. So what does it mean? There's money on the sidelines. There's no place else. Where do you think anybody's invested? There's been no outside investing for, I don't know how many years it is now, but if you look around the globe, the commodity markets are in the toilet. All right, except Bitcoin. But I mean, you got grains at lows they haven't seen for quite a while. You've got bonds, interest rates at lows. Where would the money be going? Is it staying in the mattress? Maybe they're all buying those Casper mattresses and putting them in there. I mean, you know, again, there's money on the sidelines. You know, this is always reminds me of the story. You know, as I've been doing this for 38 years, and you know, you may or may not remember this, but you know, back in the day, soybean corn traded like some just a shade over 2.5 usually. Wheat was just over 3.5, and soybeans were around 5. Okay, so whenever they needed a rally in soybeans, the Chinese were buying soybeans. Okay, now back then they didn't take such good care of their people. I don't know that they take care of such good of them now, but then for sure they didn't, right? But they were buying soybeans, so they tried to get a little bit of a rally, right? So what's the story today? Well, the Chinese are buying, right? The Chinese are buying soybeans. Okay. I mean, does it really matter? And I think that's the big deal. There's money on the sidelines. The Chinese are buying soybeans and blah, 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 blah. That stuff is all a crock. Okay. Markets move the way markets move. And when buyers want to be more aggressive and be buying, paying higher prices, they will push the markets up all by their lonesome. They don't need the Chinese. They don't need the so-called money on the sidelines. And I think that that's where you make the overall deal, okay? And you then, you know, realize that it's a crock. Because here we are. All right, the money is on the sideline. We're going to keep going up. But now the point here, I think more importantly than the old banana in the tailpipe, you know, the old money on the sideline trick, is the fact that you can see it's obvious that the Federal Reserve has forced and pigeonholed everybody into one asset class. Now, what does that mean? Well, what it means is that you only have one place to go. What that means is, where are you going to go for a flight to safety if there's a problem? It means is that there could be an issue. And of course, to me, you know, these economists are absolutely, totally clueless, that wouldn't have an idea of what to do or where to go. And nor do they care. That's the bigger deal, is they don't really care. They've got their formulas. They've got their books. They've got their workups. And that's the way it is. It doesn't matter if that's not the way it is. That's the way it is, because that's the way that they say it is. Now, again, I can never agree or concur with that kind of thinking. I can't agree or concur with any of that stuff. Okay. I don't understand, you know, why we believe that they're actually right when their track record is that they have never been right. Okay. Now, somebody can explain to me, why do we take what they say as the gospel? Okay. And this is one of the issues in this country today. And I suppose for all time, but you know, we are all brought up to have some type of respect for authority. And I guess you could look at a politician as an authority or authoritative figure. All right. And so they've gotten to them that mountain. So we are, you know, more, you know, we give them more respect. But I think the real question is why. You know, Americans were free. Okay. We earned our freedom and we've got it. And we're supposed to have the right to say what we believe. And we talked earlier about the lobbyists and what they're doing. Why is it that we need to be manipulated around by economists who really don't have a clue? And again, it's not that they're not smart people from an education, reading a book smart, but they certainly aren't very smart when it comes to a economy. And again, that's not me, you know, mouthing off, which I have a tendency to do. That's a fact. Okay. Just go back, look in history and see the decisions that they've made and when they've made it. Now they'll go back later and tell you that there was a problem, but what do I care about later? I might be dead when they decide that this is a problem. I want to know now. And I want to know why everybody is so afraid of their own shadow in these offices to make a decision. You know, is it not, and again, I'm not, this is not, this is more of an opinion, but isn't it not easier just to go ahead and say, like in Janet Yellen's case, to go ahead and print more money than to try to tighten down the economy? Is a recession or a market collapse such a big deal? If you let it happen right, it should come back stronger the next time. And to me, that becomes more of the problems. They're so afraid to let the free market system work, which is what we were built on, right? This is where I think, you know, you get into these other things of who's got to make the money. And that, to me, becomes the sadder part of the story, is we're more concerned of who's got to make the money, because that's almost controlled by the policy that they set, is who's going to end up making the money. Under their policies, the banks, once again, have flourished like crazy. Okay, now, again, I you know, big companies, they can buy back their stock. But what has happened to, again, how do we start this conversation out with a small business? They got screwed. Okay, they got no benefit. They got no money. And they get no help from anybody. So how do we expect to have an economy that's going to grow when our small business people can't grow? You know, we know what IBM can do, for example. They're never going to have a big hiring. They're not going to get much bigger than they are. They've got a better chance to contract, do they not? And not because they're not doing good or whatever, but because of the technology, because of where they are, they're already a monster company. You know, Microsoft, how many more people are they going to hire? But a small guy that starts out with one or two or three employees and then goes to 10, 15, or 20, and then goes to 100, you know, you could get a bunch of those. Now, that would be good for the economy. Not this bozo economics that we go through now, where not only am I Caterpillar, but I get to lay off 10,000 people But I also get to buy back my stock because the money's so cheap. So now my board, my stockholders, and my CEO is going to make a fortune. But let the little guy eat cake, because who cares? We don't need the little guy. Of course, what you forget about, the little guy is the guy that actually does the buying. Right? If you remember the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, the little guys do the buying, the eating. They support the big guys. If you eliminate all the little guys, you eliminate a lot of your profit margins, which is what I think we're starting to see here as we go through just about everything. I mean, you know, again, things do not bode well in the long run for a lot of individual businesses here. And if you're going to continue with crappy tax plans, and if you're going to continue with a lousy agenda to begin with, if you're going to continue with, you know, a Federal Reserve that's clueless and doesn't know which side is up, which way is up, then you're going to continue to have more of these problems. And you know what that means? It means you're not going to get those great potential growth numbers that you would like to get. You're not going to get the great potential opportunities that you'd like to get. What you're going to get is you're going to get it stuck. And you're going to create a position where there's going to be another major meltdown. And there will be another meltdown. You can book it on, it's November 10th, 2017. You can book the fact that there'll be another major crisis. And God forbid if we get rid of the Fed and wouldn't have them to deal with it. Because again, the fact of the matter is if it left, if the Federal Reserve would have stayed out the last time and let those who couldn't make it go and those who could survive. And the only thing I would have asked is that they bailed out the individual depositor of the banks that might have gone under. And I'm not, you know, again, they say they would have gone under, but again, I don't always necessarily believe what they say. I think we'd have been being stronger and better today and wouldn't be having this discussion because we would have survived. But this is, of course, their way, which is why they go back to that cry for inflation. I wish they'd cry for Argentina, not for inflation. I wish they'd leave us alone, but that's the way life goes at the moment. And this is The Bubba Show, which is always entertaining and never duplicated. It can't be duplicated. And if you remember highschoolinvesting.com, you know, as you know, I have a high school program, which is in 300 high schools in the United States of America, and I'm trying to make it 30,000. But I have supported myself for 6 years. I do now need some help. And if you'd like to help, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And we've got some different levels, and I do some special webinars for those who do help. In the meantime, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And, of course, over the weekend, which is starting tomorrow, you can download The Sporting Edge. And also, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is free to you. You just drop me a line, and you can go to the website at BubbaTrading.com, and there it is for you, and I'll send it to you every single day. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. We're stepping out for a break. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It's The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horwich, and glad to be here. And again, I do salute the veterans. I know I have many of you who listen to me, and God bless you. I can't tell you what it means to me that you are there to take care of it. And if people think that, you know, they don't deserve your thanks, I don't know. How many people have you stood in front of a bullet for? You know, I think we are far too lax on how we take care of our veterans, from the government and the crappy hospitals they give them, to the pay that they get and the retirement that they get afterwards. You know, again, I have to tell you that, just in my opinion, obviously it's only my opinion, but it's my show, that, you know, these guys go to war for you so that, for example, that I can do what I do. All right. And there's the old quote, you know, if you went to school, you thank a teacher. If you learn something, whatever it is, but the final part is, if you can do it. I don't remember it, but whatever it was, obviously it's about veterans and how good they are and what they go through, okay, and their families. You know, we always forget about the families that go along with the veterans, okay? You know, they get wives, kids, parents. You know, it's a tragedy. And again, I can never appreciate any of you enough, and I thank you. And now we shall move on. And of course, you know, as we come near the end of the trading year, all right, you know, we basically have, from a true, you know, short, not investing, you know, investing and trading are different. So from a true perspective of what we have left in the year, all right, you've got about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks in November, because Thanksgiving week is going to be a zero. And you've got about 2 weeks in December, about the ending of the Fed meeting, which is December 14th, is basically about at the end of the year. Now, it doesn't mean that there won't be trading, but there won't be active trading. So now, although we've been bearish and we have not gotten the desired result to the downside, I think that you now would see that the you probably will not see it this year. Okay. You probably will not see a major meltdown this year again. I think now it's because typically this time of year is more bullish. You got the Santa Claus rally that shows up a lot. Seasonally, it's a very bullish time. Even in 08, it was bullish. And I still actually really believe, obviously, a big sell-off is coming. But I think now it probably is not coming until after the first of the year. And again, I can't give you a date, obviously. I wish I could. But I wouldn't get too overly aggressive here. One of the problems with trying to be aggressive this time of year is you might be able to get in, but a lot of the markets turn into the Roche Motel and then you can't get out. So, I mean, again, it doesn't mean that we won't be prepared if something happens. I mean, we're certainly not stepping in and buying because of what I'm saying, and it's a seasonal rally. What we're saying is that it's just probably not going to have a major meltdown. Okay. And it's okay. I mean, we'll wait. That's the key. We have patience. We can do that. All right. So, you know, if you understand all that, then just relax. And again, we're going to be prepared in case we're wrong. You know, again, one thing we know, the markets don't announce themselves. Okay. So we have to be prepared, but just from a outer view, like an outline look, we're just going to say, okay, well, we're not going to be aggressively bearish here. We'll just be passively waiting for the markets to give us the best clue, which is all we ever want to do. Now, I got to ask you a question. You know, somebody called me. You know, I write for Kitco every day, a little commentary. And somebody called me up. You know, one station calls me a perma bear. Somebody else calls me a perma bull. I thought I was pretty neutral. I mean, I'm leaning bearish now, but I don't ever tell you that I'm not. I mean, I'm leaning bearish, but what I always tell everybody, yes, I'm bearish in the short term, but I own stocks. I don't sell them. Okay. I think the markets go up 9% year over year. I think I'm just a guy that has an outlook in a short view, you know, based on what I see, and also believes that equities are going to go higher. But I laughed because I go, okay, now I'm a permable, and you know, and they talk about the cryptocurrencies. I keep getting emails about that. They're like the tulip bubble, and it very well may be, but you know, it makes a market, right? If there's a buyer and a seller, then that's a market. Okay. And as long as you have a buyer and a seller on a market, it's not a tulip yet. It could turn into one. And certainly I would expect the cryptocurrencies to take a little beat down at some point. But I also think that they're becoming much more accepted. Have you noticed the new TV ads, okay, that now you can put cryptocurrencies in your IRA, all right? Now, I do not recommend. Look, straight up, I have no problem if you put a little bit in your IRA. But if you convert your whole IRA, which is what they're advocating, I think you're a nut job, okay? That's as simple as that. Cryptocurrency may be the greatest thing ever, all right? However, all right, if you commit, let me put it this way, if you commit all of your assets to any one asset class, okay, then you should have your head examined, okay, unless you know how to hedge it and reduce the risk on it. But just straight up, if you put all your money into Apple, or if you put all your money into Google, or if you put in all your money into gold or silver, and name an asset class, you'd have to have your head examined. Because A, you're not putting yourself in a position that you're destined on one thing. And it doesn't mean that it won't work. But the real question is if you put all your money in any one asset class, let's put it in gold. So we put all of our money in gold at 1260. All right. Now I believe gold someday will be 2000, someday it'll be 3000, and it'll continue to appreciate or inflate as everything else does. But what do you do if it goes to 640? Okay. Then what do you do? Are you forced to puke? Do you get out? It's easier to be diversified. A diversified portfolio is the way that life should be, because that will prevent you from ever having to make that tough decision of, do I have to get out? Can I handle it? Do I have to puke here? That's the key about diversification. Can you trade and be a little heavier in the short term? Anyone? Of course. But be prepared to exit early so that your long-term net worth is not in play. Remember, you don't want to be put to a decision, as they say, for all of your chips at any one time. You want to be able to ride the storms and not be forced to make a decision, because what are most humans' emotional decisions? They're wrong. They're all emotional decisions are never right, because you are not making them logically or thinking with a clear head. You are making them based on a moment of fear. You're making them based on a moment of concern, and you're making them under a defensive posture, typically, which is to protect yourself. And how else do you protect yourself than get out? Why do you, what do you think creates market meltdowns? It's the puke factor. We talk about it all the time. And it's, you get to a certain point where you can't take it anymore. So I think that, again, a well-rounded portfolio, you might be want to be slightly overweight, different things at different times, is the way to go. I do believe that the cryptocurrencies are legit, but I also believe there's probably a pretty big sell-off coming here. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you're now seeing commercials for them for your IRA. That is usually a sign. If you remember and go back to, I think it was 2011, when all the gold stores started popping up. Okay, where are they now? They're all broke. And gold is much lower. And I think gold has turned the corner, but that's besides the point. Again, when everybody's jumping on it, they're trying to push everybody into one direction again. So that would be something you would have to think about. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, of course. And of course, I do want to take just another few seconds to once again thank all the military, the veterans, their families, their siblings, whatever, everybody involved. It is because of you that I get to do what I get to do now. It is because of you that we have a country that is safe, or as safe as it can be. It is because of you that our children get to grow up and in the greatest country in the world. And that is all because of you, the veterans of the United States of America. We appreciate you. We hope that you have a great day, your families. And we hope you have a great day every day, because that is really what it's all about. And thank you again so much for taking care of me, my family, and the rest of our country. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Everybody have a great weekend. Happy Veterans Day, and we will see you back here on Monday. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.